This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's your favorite Texans offseason move of the 2025 offseason? We want to hear from you. 713-572-4610 is the way to get a hold of us on the telephone. You can also check us out on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers YouTube and Twitch streams, and you can interact in the chats as well. Let us know, what do you think is, or not even what do you think, what is your actual favorite move? Not the best per se, and it can be carryover. Maybe your favorite is the best, maybe the best is your favorite. That's up to you. But your favorite move that the Texans have made this offseason, this is inspired by Mike Sando at The Athletic, of listing his favorite offseason move from each NFL team. We'll read in a second what he had to say about the Texans. But we talked about this earlier in the show, Seth, and we got a few responses. And a couple of them are pretty funny from the 832. Thank God we traded away Mr. False Start. I was so happy. So, like, their favorite move was trading away the only good offensive lineman on an offensive line that was bad. And look, I know a lot of people were in support of that, and I understand it, but it is interesting that would be someone's favorite move was trading away your Pro Bowl left tackle.
But from the fan experience, the you can't overstate how infuriating it would become when in these critical situations there'd be a whistle, a flag on the field, and you just knew, oh, it's freaking Laramie, isn't it? And that just sticks with you. And so many times when Laramie was doing it, it was in critical situations, or it was something that turned a second and four into a second and nine, whatever it might be, that throw all the PFF grades and everything else out of it, throw the fact that he's a mediocre run blocker out of it, all of that. It was just the whole way Laramie operated, where not only was he committing the false starts, but refused to accept any responsibility for it. It wasn't until midway through this year that I think I can ever remember seeing Laramie Tunsil feel bad about a penalty.
Yeah.
And that was when he was illegally downfield on a screen. And that was the only time I can remember on television seeing him look at like, oh, I screwed up. Usually it was him just like with a look of disbelief. Oh, I can't believe you called that a false start just because I was two steps out of my stance before the ball was snapped.
Or sometimes what would bother me was sometimes he'd look around as if he was the only one who had the snap count right.
He'd blame the center. He would insinuate that it was the center's fault. And meanwhile, it would be nobody else was having an issue with the center.
Right.
It was the center's fault, even though everybody else managed to hold their water on that play.
And then on top of that, and maybe I could get past that, and this is where the whole not showing up to the voluntary stuff would bother me, because like I'm not the guy that wants to guilt anybody for not showing up to voluntary work. They tell you you don't have to be there. You're going to get paid anyway, even if you don't show up. I'm totally fine, for the most part, with guys deciding to do that, you know, on their own time, however they want to do it. But when it manifests like this, and this is your quote-unquote leader, he was a team captain at one point, he's the best player on the unit, one of the best players on the team, and then something as, like, small but still as important as getting the snap count down, I couldn't help but to think, and I'm not a football player, right? I couldn't help but to think, man, you know what? It feels like just logic, being a logical human, a logical person, it seems like it would help to be around more or to be around earlier. And that seems like that's the type of thing that you might be able to mitigate with more reps and time.
This is what was bothering me about last year when he was on an historic pace. Like, he was going to obliterate any kind of record for penalties. And then he got it. To his credit, he figured it out midway through the season and he stopped. People would explain, they'd go out of their way to explain, well, he's just trying to time the snap count to get as good to get as much of an advantage as possible. Yeah, I know that. I know that's what he's trying to do. The really, really good offensive tackles, tend to not do that. Like, they get two or three false starts per year,
yeah.
Not 15-plus false starts per year. So that's a...
Or if they are doing it, they're doing it a whole hell of a lot better than this guy's apparently,
you know,
doing it.
And that's what would drive me insane, is that people would love to bring up his PFF grades, and you look at the pass protection grades. Well, yeah, that's great, but he's not getting docked for all those false starts. So meanwhile... Yeah, it's no big deal if it goes from 2nd and 6 to 2nd and 11 for Laremy Tunsil, because he's still going to do a good job in pass protection on that play. But then you've got your Kenyon Greens, your aging Shaq Masons, whoever's playing center that day. Those guys have to deal with a 2nd and 11 now. And it's just, it was a complete independent operator state of mind where he just flat out didn't care as long as Laremy was getting his good pass protection grades. People would bring up his PFF pass protection grades and then curiously leave out his overall PFF grades, which were much less impressive than his pass protection grades, as they were trying to go on their Laremy Tunsil apology tour.
We love Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware around here, voices of the Texans. Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice of the Texans, and Andre Ware, the color commentary and analyst for the Texans. I knew right here on Sports Radio 610, by the way, I knew it was bad with Laremy Tunsil when Andre Ware started to sound like this on our very airwaves.
Looks like a false start on the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap, false start. Offense, number 78. It's a 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
He got it out of the way early. Laremy Tunsil.
It's every week, though. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl player. There's no excuse for that. None.
Back to the 15 we go.
You see Mark try to work through it, and Andre's like, no, wait a minute now. That's supposed to be a Pro Bowl player, and this is happening. Like, I knew it was bad when our own radio broadcast guys and a guy like Andre Ware, who's kind of been letting it loose a little bit more in recent years, but when he is that impatient with you, It tells a lot. And, of course, they watch and call every snap of every game for the Texans. But, man, it just at some point it got really exhausting. As good and as talented as he is, because, like, I don't deny what the Pro Football Focus grades are trying to tell you about how good he is in pass protection. But everything you say is correct, that it is void of the context of him putting your offense behind the eight ball time and time and time again. It was really frustrating to watch.
The worst one, it was the Minnesota game when the Texans were at the Minnesota 31-yard line, you know, right there in field goal position. It's 1st and 10. They end up getting it they got it down to the Minnesota 27, sorry, on 2nd and 6. So it's 3rd and 4. Hey, that's 3rd and very makeable at that point. Titus Howard, false start. Next play, okay, now it's 3rd and 9. Juice Scruggs, false start. And neither of those are Laremy Tunsil. I get it. But this is where the leadership portion comes in. 3rd and 14, penalty, false start on Laremy Tunsil. And then 3rd and 19, illegal formation, Laremy Tunsil. Like, it was just, that was when Laremy Tunsil being the 3rd and 4th on 4 consecutive pre-snap penalties, that was an abomination. That Bobby Slowick should have been fired on the spot, and then you still should have traded Laremy Tunsil in the offseason, because that was just a complete train wreck of taking points off the board because you guys could not function like a lot of really good high school offenses. You go to any of these good high schools around in Texas, they do a better job of not having 4 consecutive pre-snap penalties.
See, but you saying this right now, Seth, makes me feel validated in my take of that week. Like, I came back, so following that game, either on, it would have either been my Tuesday hit within the loop or my Wednesday hit with the drive, but on one of those two appearances, maybe even both of them, I was ready to bench Laremy Tunsil as more of a symbolic thing, like, yeah. And I know that, you know, even in the moment it sounds ridiculous, and maybe it sounds ridiculous now because they did not have a better option at left tackle than Laremy Tunsil if healthy. Like, that would have probably been a drastic and like a drastic overreaction, but it felt appropriate given the moment. Like, I don't know how you either send a message or how somebody is supposed to learn a lesson if there are no consequences beyond just, oh, now we're in whatever it is and long, and oh, guess what? By the way, the best thing that I do is protect us in these situations. So, like you said, it's really no skin off my back, it's skin off the back of the others. Like, without some kind of action to show that, hey, we're not going to accept this. I didn't really know what they were supposed to do, but I feel validated somewhat in the sense that they moved on, and I don't think it was just because of that. It was probably more so because of the financial reasons and everything that's coming up for them in terms of bills being due. But I do feel somewhat validated in how I felt. Even if my feeling didn't translate to logic and reason, my feeling, I feel like, was appropriate at that time, because even as good as he was or as good as he is, you just cannot have that. Like, that, it can't be this. This cannot be what we put out. This cannot be the example that we set for others.
It's exactly right. And it's not the one thing that was wrong with the offense or anything else. But when you're looking at a situation where obviously the team got rid of three starting offensive linemen, the offensive line coach, who was probably going to retire anyway, and Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator. There were multiple things wrong there. But in one of those things, when you're trying to get the offense to operate more like the defense, just to play with a swarm mentality, to care about the little things, all of that, you can't have the highest paid guy on your team or one of the highest paid guys on your team who your young quarterback has cited as a vet. He doesn't do anything extra during practice. That's CJ's impression of what a vet does. Nothing extra during practice. That's great. That's a great influence on everybody. Everything you said is true. Like, but at the same time, CJ Stroud's getting murdered back here. We can't, right now in season, it's not like you can bench Laremy Tunsil. It's something that had to be taken care of in the offseason. There's a reason. Laremy Tunsil is awesome in pass protection, and yet he's been traded off of two different teams now. That doesn't happen. Teams cling on to genuinely great offensive tackles as much as they can, unless there's an issue either with the player or the team. You don't get traded twice.
Not only traded twice, traded off of two different teams, but I would point out two different teams that have still had to try to figure out their offensive line post Laremy Tunsil. Like with the Dolphins, their offensive line was a mess for a long time. It's not like they traded them and they just had these answers, these next up answers, ready-made answers for their offensive line. They've been trying to piece it together damn near ever since. The Texans, another example. Like, I think most people feel pretty good about the decision and the direction that they're trying to go in, but I'll be damned if we'll say that they got that offensive line figured out. Like, he's been traded off of teams, but specifically teams with offensive lines that were still somewhat in peril at the time that he was traded. I think that says a lot.
And by the way, everybody, just in case you were wondering, Laremy Tunsil will not be participating in OTAs with the Washington Commanders, or at least as of earlier this week. People in Washington are super excited about the Laremy Tunsil trade, and understandably so. I mean, like, I'm not trying to sit here and act like he's a trash football player or anything.
Obviously, he's
very, very good in pass protection. That's pretty much it. But it's important. And people are thinking, all right, yeah, now we're going to get this thing together. And Jaden Daniels is going to, yeah, oh, we're not going to see him for a while. Okay. Yeah. All right. I get it.
Yeah.
Lots of veterans sit out of OTAs and everything, but it is a little bit of a crestfall when one of the big name guys that's supposed to be helping the younger players on your team isn't out there at a vitally important position. People in Washington are trying not to be too upset about it. But I have seen headlines of Laremy Tunsil blasted by local sports radio host, et cetera, et cetera.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, and look, I know that the Washington fan base is a fairly astute one, and they've had some rough years, but they know their football and they know their NFL. I would imagine, or would at least expect, I'll say this, I would have at least expected Washington media and Commanders fans to have done a little bit of their research, because it does not take very long from, honestly, the years that he's been here and our coverage, like just our market coverage of Laremy Tunsil, it does not take very long to learn and to figure out that this guy is only going to show up when it's time to punch the clock. Like when he when he is on the clock, when he is getting paid or paid to be there or not getting fined to not be there, that is when he will show up, and not a minute sooner and not a minute later.
The Laremy Tunsil trade is my favorite move of the offseason, partly because it also provided me some sports hatred for a team that I was struggling to hate. I was happy about the Commanders. I was impressed with Jaden Daniels. I thought, all right, that's great. Finally, this team gets, and their fan base gets some hope, some shine, all of that. And yet now I am invested in them collapsing and falling and burning to the ground. Yeah. And it's not just because of Laremy Tunsil. It's because I've spent the whole offseason now being kind of jealous and petty about it. I'm like, yeah, that was us last year. Yep, talking about all these great things to come. Washington did the exact same thing the Texans did after they had a promising year with their first-year quarterback. They went out and they were aggressive in free agency. That's what the Texans did last year. They were aggressive in free agency trying to build this team around your young quarterback, and in year two, everything fizzled to an extreme degree. So yes, I need the Commanders to fizzle and fail.
I suspect, though, Seth, you're going to have to settle for some kind of compromise or some type of meeting in the middle, because I do think that Laremy Tunsil is going to be good for them and is going to be an awesome pass protector for Jaden Daniels. But at the same time, I feel like, because they're going to play plenty of big games here in the future, we're still going to have those moments, and we're going to see it, and we're going to be all too familiar with it as Texans fans. Up, false start, illegal procedure. There's Laremy Tunsil moving the chains backwards and not forwards. Like, that's going to happen along with the fact that they will have upgraded at that position. Both things are going to be true, I think.
That's where this is going to be fun. If you don't follow Texans commenter on X, I encourage you to do so. He's a really good, he has a podcast, does a lot of stuff, but he also is a really good aggregator of good video content. Guys like Texans commenter are going to have every single Laremy Tunsil false start. You're going to see it's going to pop up on your timeline. Look at this. What do we have here? The other part about the Commanders that I have a hard time hating is that Jason Simmons, who's one of my favorite teammates of all time, is the defensive pass game coordinator for the Commanders. So that's on the defensive side of the ball. I could hope for the Commanders' defense to continue to grow and improve and be good, but I need the offense to fail miserably.
One other text message we got from the 231, firing Bobby made me feel great. This was in response to
your
favorite Texans offseason. Oh, where does that rank for you, Seth?
Yes, you know what? God, that's, I kind of lumped that in with the Laremy Tunsil trade, just the complete, the like D'Amico acted like he was Stalin, man. He just purged anything and everything on the offense just to try to get some new blood in there. That was the thing that we were most doubtful about.
Yeah.
I didn't know if D'Amico either had it in him or would see, because it's a tough situation where you hire your buddy and you've got this blood brother pact from back in the day in San Francisco when you guys were quality control coaches together. That, hey, which I always like to imagine, like the Bobby and D'Amico promising each other that they'll take the other one with them when they get a head coaching job. Like that's a pretty one-sided arrangement there. Like D'Amico is clearly on a fast track from the get-go. So I didn't know if he had it in him, or if, I don't know if he'd have blind spots and not really see how much of an issue everything was offensively, but that was impressive, you know, for something that was probably really hard for D'Amico to do. That was the best thing for the team, is that you gotta move forward, and they were taking a step back instead.
This was fun enough to carry into the next segment. Keep texting them in. 713-572-4610. Your favorite Texans move of the offseason. And also coming up next here on Payne and Pendergast, have you given up on any of these Texans? That's next here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.